and welcome to the next episode of the Atomic Powered Supercast with your hosts Andrew, David and Jin. This week our topics are Pyrie Bible Fellowship, Hark a Vagrant and Penny Arcade. And now the quest begins.
Okay, everybody, welcome back to another riotous episode of the Atomic Powered Supercast.
Yeah!
Yay! Good work, this sounded semi-riotous. So, I'm Andy, and I'm hanging out with David.
Hey!
And Jen.
Hey!
And for the third week in a row, special guest Jeff.
Hello!
Third. Comic-Con. Oh, fourth week! Look at you, a whole month of podcasting. Aww. So, this week we're continuing our webcomic series, and we're going with some of the big ones, or at least ones that, I don't know, I'm pretty sure most people have heard of or seen around somewhere. First off is going to be Pyrie Bible Fellowship, not Bible Starship, or any other words I was going to fuck up that pronunciation.
Because that's a real hard word.
Yes, well, for me apparently it is. Me and my fat tongue. And then we're going to do Hark a Vagrant by Kate Beaton, and we're going to do Penny Arcade. We're kind of going with the big three on our list. Well, the big, I don't know, there's other big ones on here,
well,
too.
Well, I would say that these are just the best-made webcomics on the internet.
I think these are the highest-quality ones on our list. Although, I don't know, romantically apocalyptic.
Well, yeah, but that was story-based. That was exempt. Yeah, that had to shine last week.
It's a different vein. Different vein. So, let's dive right in, right?
Yeah.
Pyrie Bible Fellowship. I love the shit out of this.
Yeah. Pretty hilarious.
I love that I brought this up. There's one, it's titled Atlantis, and this is the first one I ever saw. And the first panel is just this kid, and this, he's built like a sandcastle, and it's been come washed out, and then the next panel is there's this guy who looks like fucking King of Atlantis. He's like in the coming out of the water, he's got like a robe and a crown, and he says, and it's nice, like, I too have lost a kingdom. Join me, let us begin anew. And the last panel is a wanted thing that's a sex offender, and it's got the picture of the guy being hauled away by cops. It's great. This is the first one I ever saw of this, and I was like, what is this? I need to go find more of it right away. And I don't know how I tracked it down. I found it on like Tumblr or something way back when, and I ended up finding my way back to Pyrie Bible Fellowship. And oh my god, so much goodness in here. We should talk about that. How have you guys found webcomics before? Like, just hearing about it from other people?
Usually I find a webcomic I like and follow, like, either links or an attractive banner ad.
Advertising works.
Usually I find webcomics through, links from other webcomics. Or, I have friends who I trust on Humor, and they recommend things to me sometimes.
I find them pretty much the same way. It's like either I stumble across them on another website or somebody sends them to me. But the very first webcomic I ever read actually was Penny Arcade.
Yeah, me too. I think the first time I ever... Yeah, I think Penny Arcade was the first one I ever did, and it was because... I don't know, I think it was the first Child's Play like benefit that they did where they were auctioning something, and something they were auctioning looked awesome. And that's how I ended up finding the comic.
I remember it was like my freshman year in high school, and my friend Tony came up to me and he's like, "You have to read this comic. It's on the internet. It's new."
It's new.
And ever since then, I've been in love with Penny Arcade.
Yeah, I think you are. I think you're the most hardcore Penny Arcade person in here. I just because you have this book that made the creator go, "Oh my god, what?"
Yeah, my year one.
Yeah, year one of Penny Arcade retrospective.
It's pretty great. But signed by them now.
Pyrie Bible Fellowship.
Stay on key.
I like how I drive everybody off topic. So I know this one is kind of just the week-to-week punchline, but there are so many good ones in here.
And it's some of the most clever punchlining you'll see.
Yeah.
Some of them at the beginning, like the one you just pulled up, are a little... They're just like sex jokes and not as clever as it gets later on, but...
But he gets there.
He's very hilarious.
But, and this is another one where if you go back to the beginning, you can definitely see a huge, huge progression in art.
Yeah.
Because, oh my god, this is like, really bad in the beginning.
It's really bad, but the jokes are still there. You see that one?
He's one of the first comics,
and it's a guy looking sad, standing over a dead bird, and then the devil pops up, and he shakes his hand, and all of a sudden the man has a penis that has to be, like, wrapped around him.
It's all over the background of the frame, and it, like, trails off. You don't even see the end of it anywhere.
That one's pretty excellent because I love Transformers.
Actually, the other one's good.
Every time I click
around, the first one, yeah,
disassemble the first one where they're it's two Transformers. One turns into a pickup truck, and the other turns into a fridge that jumps in the back of the pickup truck. And it's how they avoid helping people.
I really like just how he'll take really like common situations and then like turn them around. So like the kid's in the hospital and there's a baseball player and you know the kid's like, well, hit one for me, will you, Rusty? And Rusty's like, yeah, I will, kid. And then it shows the kid watching like the game on TV and like Rusty has just pitched a ball at like the batter's head and like knocked him out.
yeah or like the eye exam one where you know you have like the giant letter on top and then smaller and the kid's doing the eye exam and the guy's pointing at the letter E, and there's a little B next to it, like an actual like little B, like a flying thing. And the kid says B, and then everybody looks sad. And then the third frame is like the kid getting laser eye surgery.
Yeah.
Wait, which one are you looking at, baby?
He's looking at the moving birthday comic.
Yeah.
Oh, God. You're going to end up doing that, aren't you?
No, I would never do that.
But times get tough, and then sometimes a birthday moves from April to June.
So you just gotta do it when the kid's younger than in that panel.
Yeah, so he doesn't know any better?
Yeah. Like fourth birthday. Where, like, they've had a birthday before, so they know it's special, but they don't quite know the concept of a year.
My actual favorite comic is the bear one, the one where a kid is in... no, not that one. A kid's in... like preschool or something, and the question on the chalkboard is, what do you want to be when you grow up? And this kid has drawn a bear and written bear in big letters under it, and the teacher's sort of smiling, and you can't be a bear. And then the last panel is the kid launching over the little preschool sized table and biting the guy in the throat.
Some of the jokes are crude. They're more just like the sex jokes and the violence jokes. But even when he does sex and violence jokes, it's still in a kind of witty way. Like, one of my favorites is like the dinosaur classroom. Yeah. There's just a bunch of dinosaurs, you know. There's like a stegosaurus and the thing that like has the spout nose like horn thing. And there's a T-Rex teacher, right? And like the stegosaurus or whatever it is throws a little paper airplane and hits the T-Rex in the back of the head. And the T-Rex goes, "See me after class, Billy." And the last frame is the T-Rex just fucking thrashing the dinosaur. Just, like, throwing it to the wall and blood everywhere. Yes, that one was called Mr. Rex. Mr. Rex. It's amazing.
This one's pretty awesome.
I love how this is degraded and it's just, us just laughing at this comic.
Yeah, pretty much.
But that's how good this comic is, when we're just... perusing them, we just get lost in it.
Well, I mean, think about last week. We were all talking about the different comics and wedding, and then when we got to a Romantically Apocalyptic, we just burst into giggling.
Yeah,
when we went through Friends, happening right away with this one.
Yeah, but that just means that you should all go read it.
The other cool thing about this one is that we talked about, you know, his art was pretty shit when he started. But it grows not just to a competent level. He has full-on paintings in his later comics, and they're very well done and amazing-looking.
Yeah, and like one of my favorites of those is Christmas cards, when there's a bunch of playing cards sitting around, and it's like a...
The Nativity?
The Nativity, that's what it is. It's like the Nativity, and Baby Jesus, instead of being a playing card, is like the rules for how to play poker. Like, oh my god, now we know how to do life.
They all have purpose now.
Because we all know Jesus teaches us how to live.
Apparently. But there is a couple of themes in this comic. Like, I love the way that you get the inanimate objects just put on the heads of normal people.
Yeah, I think my favorite of those ones is the rock, paper, scissors, gladiator one.
Oh, yes. That one is
they're arguing about shotgun.
Yeah.
And Rock says, there's only one way to settle this. Because paper and scissors are arguing. And it's just a gladiator battle between the two of them. Yes, it's quite funny. Yeah, good art.
Yeah, I great really quality. I really don't know what else to say about this.
It's just amazing, and it's a pity that he kind of stopped making
them. I mean, he's a grad student. He's got a lot of stuff on his plate, but he's actually writing something with Kate Beaton, either right now or recently finished it. Like, he was writing it, she was doing the art. It was this Strange Tales, actual issues of Strange Tales from,
I don't know.
DC?
Sure.
Where it's just reimagining some of the superheroes.
That sounds amazing.
Yeah.
Although, I really do like his art.
Yeah, his artwork's really great, and Kate Beaton's writing is really great, so it's hard to choose who does what.
Yeah.
If they just collaborated on both, it would have been perfect.
But this is just such a weird thing. I mean, who the fuck thinks of these things? They're amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's one of the great things about it, is the variation. This one's like a surprise every time.
He's turned a few of them into student films, too, because he needed an idea for a short film, and he used one of his comic ideas. So he did a claymation one of the corn with glasses popping.
Claymation, that's genius.
Yeah.
These would be awesome as claymation. His art style's perfect for it.
Yeah.
Holy crap. I never saw it before, and now I need to go look it up.
Yeah, definitely.
After we're recording. I can't do it during the show.
But definitely read this, and also there's a book that Dark Horse published. Right?
Was it Dark Horse? I'm not sure.
I don't know.
If it's Dark Horse, it is Dark Horse.
Yeah,
comics.
Dark Horse.
I love Dark Horse comics.
They're pretty amazing. They've got a good track record of publishing webcomics, too, because they've published Truth Serum by Jonathan Adams.
Oh, nice.
Is another one
X-Cop.
And X-Cop.
Oh, that's right.
X-Cop is amazing.
Yeah, it's only, what is it, like $17 on Amazon for this book.
Yeah, it's
crazy. I didn't even know it existed, but I'm going to put it right on my wish list and probably never actually buy it, because that's what happens when things get put on my wish list, but it will go on the wish list
totally
for that day when I am rich.
Like,
yeah.
It's, like, just looking at Jess, it looks really good. It's full color. It's fancy times.
Yeah, it's hardcover. It's got a lot of his sketches and comics he's taken off the website because he wasn't very proud of the jokes he made in them. Like, one of the notable ones is it's just a chessboard, like a top-down view of a chessboard, and then all of a sudden the Black Knight has moved towards the king, and he's got a bomb vest on.
Yes.
And then the last panel is the White King is dead.
Well, I mean, we can't do a yay-nay on this one for continue reading. Since it's gone.
Well, I guess it's not gone. He doesn't put them up very regularly, but he does update it. And I'm sure he'll have future projects when he's not super busy with grad school or whatever he's doing. But yeah, he's very funny. You should definitely read it.
Yeah, it's definitely worthwhile just to go to pbfcomics.com and click on the random button in the middle and near the top.
Yeah.
Yes.
Because you're guaranteed to laugh, no matter what you bring up. There's...
Oh, wait. Look up Christmas Surgery.
It's a candy cane.
Christmas Surgery, here we go.
It's a doctor slipping a candy cane into the open surgical wound of a patient, and then, like, making a little, you know, don't tell anyone face in the patient, acting like they can taste it.
Well, okay, we can give it a yay nay anyway. Are you going to bookmark this and keep going back?
Always.
Yeah, I mean, this one's... Like Jeff said, I mean, I've read a lot of these already, but just hitting the random button is...
Even ones you've seen before, like, it's...
It doesn't lose its comedy.
And there are so many on here.
Yeah.
Mushroom Land Toad Race. There's a bunch of little people on, like, fucking toads and frogs, and somebody was on a tree frog and dead.
Adult Heaven. That one was a pretty good one. Where the kid is doesn't know where to send his dead cat, so he writes heaven on a box and tries to send it. It goes to a place called Adult Heaven. And
oh, Kitty just Heaven. Somebody,
is it Kitty Heaven?
Kitty Heaven.
Oh. Yeah, a dead cat gets sent in the mail and shows up at a fucking sex shop.
And the owner's opening it and going, what the fuck?
But I mean, that gives you an idea of what's in the book. If this is what gets published.
Yeah.
You know. Okay. Yeah. Let's move on to the next one.
Sure.
We got Hark a Vagrant.
Yes.
And I think this is one of the wittiest webcomics out there.
Yeah.
Just, there's so many that are so smart. And you can tell by reading this that Kate Beaton is a very smart, knowledgeable, witty, intelligent...
Well, she majored...
All kinds of those things.
She majored in history, and for a time, I think, was pursuing jobs in the museum area.
Like museum curation
and
stuff, yeah.
And then, at the time, all throughout college, she had drawn comics, written little comics about, you know, whatever she was studying in history class. And her friends loved them so much that they urged her to put them online. And that led to her success as a comic book artist. It's now her actual career.
That is awesome. Well, like, just the intelligence and the knowledge and stuff. Like, I'm looking at one here for Kepler. It's just titled Tycho, and it's this guy looking through a telescope and says, Kepler, the sun orbits the Earth. And then Kepler's behind Tycho and says, what if the Earth orbits the sun? What if your wife orbits my dick? I'm just saying, I'm right. And knowing her background, that's hilarious, because she's probably sitting in a class, right? Mm-hmm. Or the idea for this, way back down somewhere, sitting in a class hearing about Kepler and Tycho and just thinking, this is how it really went down. I was just a fucking asshole. Just draws little things.
Or another great one is about Tesla and how he got completely fucked over by everybody.
Oh, God.
That's a really sad one, but also really funny, because it's definitely how it went down. These people just stole his ideas and made them bastard versions.
This is so educational as a webcomic.
Yeah.
I mean, like, she knows her history, and she'll often, like, if she didn't do something completely accurately, she'll make a note in her comments at the bottom, like, saying, this is what really went down, and talk about the actual stuff. So.
And yeah, this comic, frequently I'll be reading it, and, well, not frequently, but about, let's say, half the time, I won't know quite what she's talking about, so I'll research the historical event she's referencing, and
nice.
then I've learned something, and I get to laugh.
Causes education.
So the one I found, one of my favorites, has nothing to do with history at all.
No.
But it's The Adventures of Sexy Batman.
Oh, yeah. God, Sexy Batman's hilarious.
They're just a bunch of three-panel strips of Batman doing unusually sexy things.
Oh,
like Batman being covered in Vaseline.
Okay. Brainstorm. She and, what's the guy's name, Neil Adams, that did Batman Aussie? They need to make a comic together.
They do.
Do you remember Sexy Bruce Wayne from the beginning of Batman Odyssey?
That's uncomfortably Sexy Bruce Wayne.
Have you seen Jim Lee's shirtless Bruce Wayne making
Natalia?
That one is kind of weird.
But we just need to have somebody who's competent in drawing Sexy Bruce.
Hey, hey, hey.
Gather.
Hey.
No, okay. But you know what I mean. You know what I mean.
Yeah, somebody with a less stylized take on Batman.
Yes. Because there really should be a Bruce Wayne comic, a Sexy Bruce.
Like, some of her most amazing stuff really is non-history, though. Like,
yeah.
She does rehash, or like, imaginings of what a book plot might be based on the cover, and she started with, like, Edward Gorey covers and moved on to Nancy Drew, and, oh, the Nancy Drew ones are comedy gold. But she'll also do, like, I love The Fat Pony.
Yes.
She draws, like, this morbidly obese pony that's just kind of a vile creature. So, like, the handsome prince will be trying to woo a lady, and then the pony will, like, poop next to him. And the lady will be like, ew, is that your pet? I'm leaving now.
Shows up throughout history.
Yeah.
But I love how she can do the witty, smart, fun kind of stuff, and also the silly, sexy Batman stuff. And it's all just as funny.
Yeah.
There's no, like, okay, I can do the witty smart stuff, but the silly stuff I'm not as good as getting silly. It's just, It's all good.
I also like her Sherlock Holmes comics a lot, because as a kid I had the complete works of Arthur Conan Doyle.
Nice.
And she says a lot of the things I remember thinking at the time.
What the fuck, really? Come on.
Well, a lot of them are the discrepancies between the actual books and the imaginings of Watson in TV and movies. He's just a bumbling fool.
Yeah.
Oh, man. I just looked up one of my favorites. It's, her readers suggested, oh, you like history, you should look at James Joyce's letters to Nora Barnacle. And she's like, okay, no problem, let me look this up. And the look that she draws on her face is...
Oh, God!
If you don't know what James Joyce wrote to Nora Barnacle, you really don't want to know. It's like two girls, one cup. Meets level. It's not for people.
I will link to that on www.atomicpoweredsupercast.com.
That's unfortunate.
Now whenever people go to your site, it's going to be like, malware, viruses. Don't go to the site. Mozilla says not to.
The best part is you find these things in, like, academic archives. Yeah.
I also really like that one, her Wonder Woman shorts, because, I mean, she sees Wonder Woman as this empowered, impressive superhero, and then a lot of the imaginings of Wonder Woman have fallen quite short of that. So this is kind of like Wonder Woman not giving a shit anymore, because she's mad at her writers.
So the first panel,
I think, the first strip is about her not wanting to fight unless it's Nazis or something, right?
Yeah.
She's like, well, I really only battle Nazis, so let me know if any show up.
It's like, it's 2011. Well, there are still Nazi villains out there.
In comics? Or?
Yeah. Aren't there still some? I feel like there are, probably.
Probably.
Go read Captain America. There's bound to be one in there. Somewhere.
Why not?
We didn't really talk about the art on this one too much.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's, I think many would argue that it's pretty simplistic, but I think it does, it's one of those comics where the art isn't what's trying to, it doesn't carry it. This is all about the humor and the wit, but the art goes along well with it, I think.
Yeah, it matches her style and humor. Yeah.
It's very stylistic art, but the one thing I will say is that she captures expressions better than maybe anybody. Like, when you see... some of the comics are just made by the expressions. Like, actually, this one is just the last panel. It's a comic about court jesters and how they were probably taken seriously back in the day. And the look on the king's face in the last panel just really sells the joke.
Yeah.
I mean, her art isn't what we would call, like, I don't know, traditionally refined or good. But it's so amazingly good. Like, it just fits her goofy style so perfectly. And I would say it's amazing art for what she is doing here. Like, would this fly as... you know, art for a Marvel comic? No, but it doesn't need to. She has her own thing going.
I have my own problems with that classification. It's the same thing with video games, you know.
Yeah.
PlayStation and Microsoft won't publish games if they don't fit a certain, like, you know, quality of polygons? I don't know.
Sure.
And then games like Braid and not to stray too far off topic, but some of the more artistic and clever games out there don't get made. Luckily now there's downloadable games, and that's why.
Yes.
Being the savior of artistic games.
But you gotta be, like, within certain parameters of what things should look like, and I mean, like, they want your stuff to look more like, probably...
graphically.
Yeah, graphic, like, realistic. Advanced. I think Amanda Connor seems to be the most cartoony that we've ever seen in comics in this podcast.
But definitely. I'd have to agree with that.
God, I love Kate Beaton. She is an amazing person.
Yeah.
I don't even know her, but I'm going to go on a limb and say that she's probably, like, the coolest.
So does she come out to any cons ever?
Well,
like,
yes.
She lives in Canada.
She moved to New York City.
Really?
Yeah.
Recently?
Yeah.
Oh, so she would probably be at New York Comic Con,
mm-hmm.
kind of thing.
She does go to them, and she'll usually, like, announce it on her site if she's going to be someplace and advertise.
I just bring that up because I remember we went to Comic Con, and I was like, oh, come on. But she was, they were selling books of hers there. What was the book publisher?
She got picked up by Drawn and Quarterly.
Oh,
they
right.
published her Hark of Vagrant collection, compendium. You just wanted me to propose to her if she was there, huh?
Well, I was really hoping she would be there. I wanted because, like, okay, the Penny Arcade guy described you much differently. They described you as just, like, clutching your book, you know,
yeah.
like, my precious thing. And, like, you know, like, I was kind of nervous, but I was like, okay. I didn't really pick up on that when he was going up, but that's the way they described him. Like, okay, I want to see what happens with him and Kate Beaton. I just want to see him turning into a drooling mess.
I wouldn't be able to say a word. I would just...
just, like, duh, pull the book out.
Yeah.
That's fair, I do that. Very often.
Felicia Day.
Huh? What cosplayers? People walking around.
I don't know, you were talking to a lot of cosplayers. I guess it was easier once you were in your, like, Lucia Star Trek.
Yes. Well, when you're wearing a luchador mask, it's very easy to approach people and say random shit.
Yeah.
Because they're not going to know who you are. You're wearing a luchador mask. It's the power of the lucha. Okay, so that's it for Hark of Vagrant. Would you... Let's give it the yay nay.
Yay!
Yay.
Nay.
Ah!
No, I mean yay. Of course, yay.
I think we're going to be unanimous on all the ones.
Yeah, that's because this one is for the all-star one.
Yeah.
And then last on our list is Penny Arcade, which we can talk a lot about, I think.
Yeah.
And that this is... I want to say it's maybe not the best webcomic on consistently. They have some misses occasionally. I don't mean that, like, but they do a really good job of capitalizing what they make and sort of turning it into more. Like, I can tell that they might not be the best webcomics creators out there, but I definitely think they are the hardest working. In that, yes, they draw this thing every week, but they also publish books, they do benefit auctions, they have their own expo, they've made
TV
games,
show.
They have a TV show, they've got options for a movie for one of their comics.
Yeah.
Like, they are definitely going to be the hardest working people out there in webcomics. I'm pretty sure I can say that confidently.
I would say they have done the most to make webcomics look like a real profession. Like, because if you're a webcomic artist, I think it's probably hard to be taken seriously, but these guys have done so much for webcomics in general, not just because of the comics that they produce, but because they've made a media empire out of it. I mean,
mm-hmm.
PAX is huge, and people love it. I've never been, but I'm told it's, like, just
it's
as
like
amazing as Comic-Con.
It's, like, the big gaming expo.
Yeah, and, like,
yeah.
They do Child's Play, where they give, like, a lot of money to sick kids so that they can, you know, have video games to play in hospitals when they're, like, sitting there waiting and bored getting treatment. And it's just, like, they're doing such amazing things for the industry to make it look better,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Yeah. And I would say that, as per Andy's comment of them not always being on, I would say sometimes they're more niche than other times. Like, when they make
sure.
a very specific gaming joke, sometimes it you know... It's something that you haven't played or I don't know, but
that's right. But you know, there's some that are like really funny and some that are okay.
Yeah,
I don't know.
I kind of love them all.
Yeah, I tend to agree with Jeff. I think that even the ones that I don't get all the time, sometimes they always post some kind of commentary, not necessarily directly on the comic, but around the seed that I think sparked the idea, and that gives you context. You know, sometimes, yeah, it's not always funny when someone has to explain the joke to you, but at least then I get it, you know. I wouldn't say that they're... Like I said, I agree with Jeff, it's niche sometimes. Sometimes it's just too focused, but...
Well, I mean, you bring up the how they have the notes for each comic, and I think those are awesome. Because
yeah,
and I don't know the guy's real names. I'm going to call them
Jerry's
the writer.
Which
and
one's
Mike
which
is
one's
the artist.
Gabe? Gabe is the artist
Mike.
In my mind.
Mike, yeah.
And then Tycho is
Jerry.
Jerry.
Okay. Because Jerry is an awesome writer. I love his use of words.
Yes.
And his notes, and it's just he has great use of grammar and command of language, and in not a way that you would expect from a web comic person, you know. Because that's the stereotype, is webcomic is just, this is something people do on their off time because they have enough off time to do it. I don't know.
And that's how it started. Probably.
Yeah.
It was just two guys who love video games living together, shooting the shit about games and jokes, and then they just put up a, I don't remember if it was always a tri-weekly comic. I think it started out once weekly or something like that. But
probably. I agree with it.
But yeah, and then they just realized, wait, this can be our job.
We can do this for a living?
Mike proposed to his wife in one of the first Penny Arcade comics.
Oh, wow, really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
One of the great things about this comic in particular is, like, it's relatable. Like, as a nerd.
It's very nerd culture, yes.
Yeah, some of them is like, aha, I know what that's like. Like, there's a recent one when they were doing the Comic-Con issues, and the little girl comes back at... He's telling her, Tyco's... Or not, I forget who it is. I think. He's telling her not to go buy all this stuff on preview night, and she comes back with the...
selling his
with
cousin,
all the stuff and the Jane hat. Mm-hmm. And that reminded me of you, yes. Andy. I was like, oh, I know exactly what that's like. Andy came back from preview night with the
Jane
hat.
And as per... Jerry just having a great command of the English language. I love this description. These merchants are still drunk with the hope that their racks groan, or with the hope their racks groaning with wares. Come Sunday, these same men will pay you to haul their dreams away. Sunday, child. Sunday, you can sift the ruins of empire.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
At this point, I gotta say, you have to watch PATV, like their Penny Arcade, the series.
Yeah.
Because sometimes the fourth panel's shows are amazing because they actually show you like how they make the comic, and he talks like that in real life.
Yes.
Well,
and so does Mike to a certain extent.
Yes.
Mike could easily write comics, but I mean Jerry's got. He's a little more eloquent, but they both bounce these ideas off each other, and then they just get refined by Jerry.
Yeah, and so much of it is insightful, just like things that nerds sit around and think, but don't say all the time. Which hits you, like, just reminds you of something you've done, or
exactly.
That you've thought, or that you know another person thinks.
What I like especially about them is they're always like up on the gaming news. So, like, for instance, the whole FemShep, like, advertisement thing for Mass Effect 3. Like, who's the official female shepherd? You vote. And they chose the blonde one. And, like, you know, there's all these people raging, like, oh, you chose a blonde bimbo for FemShepherd. Oh, she must be a bitch. And, like, they covered that, like, the week it came out. And they just... I think that's also a nice thing about webcomics, especially if you're doing something about a specific industry. You get to deal with what is, like, exactly current right now. Mm-hmm. You know, you have a comic prep, maybe something really cool comes out, you're like, okay, I'll just put up a new one.
Yeah.
Yeah, and they have a propensity for making things that are up to, like, that do have to do with the current gaming news, but at the same time, they will hold up over time. Like, one of my favorites is called A Trick of Retrospective, and it's when Mega Man 9 came out, and everybody loved it because it felt like old Mega Man. And so Gabe is sitting there on the couch, but it's like little boy Gabe, just like with a giant fat grin. And then you see Tycho walk up in the second frame. He's like got this typically cynical Tycho face on, like, come on, really? And then he sits down. You see happy grinning, balls out, giddy Tycho as a kid, and just says the Mega Man 9 effect. And because that's the way, that's what all the reviews about Mega Man were like. But if you take out the Mega Man 9 effect thing, like, those three panels explain why I love video games and why I think people who play video games love video games. And so, like, they did it for a current event, but it remains a timeless comic. Well, not timeless. I'm sure someday we're not going to play video games like this at all, but...
No, don't talk about this. Such dark times.
So what were some of your... are there any that really stick out in your mind as ones that you've really loved?
I'm, like, kind of scrolling through them right now. I'm trying to think some that particularly jump out.
I think one of my favorite, it was a little bit of a story arc. They did a few comics about Gabe playing golf and how he didn't really have a grasp of what was gentlemanly and what golf entailed. He got the clothes down, and then he had this tiny manservant who was just a little person who would follow him around and was his ball washer. Like, I guess he would put the ball in his mouth and wash
that.
It for Gabe. But there was my favorite comic, I mean, just the thing that comes to me when I think about my favorite Penny Arcade joke is when He has this little manservant. What's his name? I'm just trying to think because it was in the comic, in the line I'm thinking of.
Yeah.
But for the purposes of this, I don't know. Humphrey?
Sure.
And he's just sitting on Gabe's back with an umbrella, trying to keep Gabe dry. That's his one job on this rainy golf day. And then Gabe's like, uh-oh, I think I felt a drop land on my hand. You know what that means, Humphrey.
Yep.
And Humphrey's like, no, please, sir, not the box. Humphrey, be good. And Gabe's response to that was just, my hands are tied. They're wet, and they're tied.
My internet's not working.
Aww.
But I can tell you right now, like, some of their, like, short story type things that they do, I love Cardboard Tube Samurai.
Yeah, they have a lot of mini story character things like that.
I love Automaton.
Automaton's really good. I actually wasn't a huge fan of the Lookouts.
Oh, I thought that was cute.
That was the little boys, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the little boys in the woods, like,
yeah.
We hope to die in the woods, you know?
Yeah.
It was actually the art that got me on that one. Maybe it was just a little too outside of my sphere.
But you didn't like snowflakes either, so you don't like you don't like drawings of kids.
Apparently.
You hate it.
You hate children in all forms, fictional and real.
Damn straight.
You hate that one.
I love that one. I love Tycho's face in that one.
In the A Trick of Retrospective.
Yeah. Pretty much like anything they've done recently I really like. One thing that I think has made Penny Arcade so successful is that it started out as like a roommate comic and they had a bunch of characters like Fruit Fucker and Charles and the DivX player.
Oh, DivX player,
and, like,
I remember
they got,
that.
They just got rid of all those and now it's just like these two guys who are quibbling about video games all the time.
Fruit Fucker and Charles still show up from time to time. But Div was a pretty one dimensional character and Jerry said that before. He doesn't like
it.
The one joke is that Bender exists now. They can no longer make Div jokes because Bender is covering all of them.
But pretty much any of their recent stuff I'd say is good. Some of it I just, like, I don't get because I haven't played that game, but the art's always amazing. And, I mean, I think they try to make it accessible whether or not you've played a game. So.
Yeah.
That's my vague response.
Well, yeah, talking about Fruit Fucker. These guys have done quite a few of the more controversial stuff too. Like, what was the one we were trying to get a shirt
cake?
No, it wasn't what we were trying to get a shirt of.
Oh, Dick Wolves?
Yes, Dick Wolves.
Oh, yeah.
So that was another one that was quashed by the good people of the internet that would go out searching to be offended, because it was clearly not a Penny Arcade reader that got upset about this comic. It was a comic about I don't know what RPG, where some guy had to free so many slaves from a pit of evil, and, you know, once he'd gotten his quota, he was done. You know, as in all MMOs and RPGs, you just have to save this many people. Not all of them, because that place is full of slaves to free.
Yeah, it's like,
you just have to save the first
kill
5
10 wolves,
you see.
350 slaves.
Yeah. And the joke was about the moral obligation of this hero and how he only has to save a certain amount. Well, that doesn't seem right. And in explaining how awful his life is while a slave is pleading to him to bring him as well, the slave describes being raped to sleep by the Dick Wolves. And the joke is not about, like, rape is funny, you know, go rape, pro rape.
The funny thing is Dick Wolves.
The funny thing is this mythical creature made of dicks that rapes people to sleep. And that's, like, their life, you know. It's not... There's nothing pro-rape about this comic.
The
people got very upset about it. And Penny Arcade's response was to make a shirt that was just the Penny Arcade Dick Wolves, like, athletic shirt. And that didn't go well. They've since canceled production on that. Even as much as I want one of those shirts, I cannot find it anywhere.
But, I mean, aside from that, they do also a bunch of other controversial stuff, too. Well, not controversial, but they're willing to do the gory stuff, even though they have the cartoony style.
Yeah.
Like, and it was just a couple cartoons ago, they had one with the fucking guy getting his guts kicked out, like we mentioned last week.
Wasn't that gory.
And Mike was talking about how people were just begging them to... people wanted the ultra-violent cartoons that were in the first couple years of Penny Arcade, because they used to just and they, people they, with nine irons and steel watch.
Yeah,
like if there's like there's an MMO where the guy has like a two-handed axe or something, they'll do some violence.
Oh,
kind of stuff
another
like
one of my favorite ones that just popped into my mind because we were talking about violent ones is I think the comic's just entitled "Your Mom Watches Soldier of Fortune 2" or "Plays Soldier of Fortune 2," and it's just this cut to this gray-haired woman sitting next to a computer going, "Oh." Oh dear. Oh, that poor man. Because that is one of the most gory games ever. It's just about, like, dismemberment. Whenever you die, wherever you got shot, that part of your body falls off. For sure.
Oh, God.
It's just a first person shooter. It's pretty brutal.
I just realized that kind of reminded me of one of my favorite recent ones where they're playing Mortal Kombat. And, like, he has to do, like, the, you know, it says, "Furnish him!" And, like, Gabe can't get the button combo down, so his character's just like, "Nyeh!" And kind of, like, swiping him, and they're, like, all bloodied, and their teeth are falling out.
Otherwise known as, "Every time I play Mortal Kombat."
Yeah.
Yes.
I don't like games like that where there's a disconnect between what directions and buttons you're pressing and what your character's doing on screen.
Yeah.
Tekken is my fighting game.
4 caliber.
Shrug, what else? What do you want? Well, I think my favorite comic of theirs by far is Holistic Analysis. And because I really want a print of it. I just want to print out huge and put it in my bathroom, like over the toilet or by the mirror. And it's just, you know, Gabe sitting there at a coffee shop, like just outside of Starbucks. He's like all bundled up for winter, and he's holding this nice warm cup of coffee. He's got his little red nose, and it's autumn. All the beautiful leaves and the trees are turning brown and yellow. And there's just text, you know, kind of playfully put on top, and it says, "I'm not gay, but sometimes I look at my penis and I think, yeah, that looks pretty good." And it's just awesome.
That's pretty old school for them, too, because Gabe has always made jokes about, you know, epic weighing and
yes,
making a Lego representation, like 1/6 scale model of his cock and stuff. Just, I still have the Got Weighing shirt from them.
Oh, nice. But, yeah, I think it needs to be said how much these guys do to legitimize webcomics. And I think that's why I kind of wanted to leave a little more time this week. And just that, aside from them doing things to enhance their own empire in terms of, like, doing packs and making movies and that sort of stuff, I can't underscore enough how awesome Child's Play is as a thing to do, that they just decided to do because they had the resources to do it. And I think it does. They use webcomics to fund their statements that they want to make about video games. And I think they first did Child's Play, like, right after something horrible happened and they blamed it on video games. I don't even remember what the incident was.
It was that Florida attorney who has since been disbarred, who constantly accuses accuses the Penny Arcade guys of being just, like, sociopaths and, you know, ultra-violent.
His thing was always, if there was a kid that did anything violent, it was because of video games. And he was constantly attacking the video game industry. And so I think these guys did it not just in reaction to him, but in reaction to a bunch of people. Just like, look, video games don't make us sociopaths. If anything, it's going to make us better people because we're going to organize this thing to help children, to help sick, dying children.
Yeah, I don't think there's any connection. I think it's pretty coincidental when somebody plays a violent video game and does something violent.
Yeah.
You know, like, if everybody plays video games and some people are sociopaths, then some people are sociopaths who play video games. That's basically all there is to
a Venn diagram.
That guy actually tried to sue them for something, right?
He tried to sue everybody.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Well, yeah, he took a lot of people to court, but he did try to sue Penny Arcade for defamation of character or something.
Yeah.
Because
they
like,
did a comic
they're
on
like,
him.
You don't quite understand how parody works or satire, do you?
I think they also cut and pasted the emails that guy sent to them.
Yeah,
oh, yeah.
It was pretty
cut and pasted into
the
comments.
News posts for about 6 months there were very entertaining because it was just that nut job.
I think you're right. I think it was Jack Thompson.
Yeah.
Jack
yeah.
Thompson,
yeah.
Yeah. He is no longer a lawyer because
he's been disbarred.
Terrible.
All right, well, do we want to give this a yay nay then?
Yay! I don't think anyone was surprised by that.
No, nobody should be. Nobody
all
at all.
All unanimous decisions this week.
I mean, I gotta say, we did kind of pick these webcomics based on what we do read regularly.
Yeah,
so,
and
there's
these are our favorites.
Days.
That's true. I don't think... I didn't choose comics that I disliked, like PvP.
Yeah,
that doesn't make me
well,
laugh.
Well, talking about Penny Arcade, they also did a good job of spawning a whole thing around webcomics and gaming. Like, I think gaming webcomics are the biggest subset of webcomics.
And
I mean, there are standard funnies, but yeah, exactly. I love Control Alt Delete,
yeah.
But Control Alt Delete is
it's definitely a
Penny Arcade clone. The way Saints Row is a GTA clone, like it is a totally different animal now, and it sort of, but it takes so many cues from the original.
Yeah, like it wouldn't exist if Penny Arcade didn't kind of a.
And I think that's another way about how Penny Arcade did so much for webcomics as a vehicle.
Yeah,
and I mean. We're at episode 45, so I think if people are still listening, then maybe they trust our recommendations. that's
hopefully.
Hope. Just listen, like, every week. I hate these people.
Their voices are so soothing.
Yeah. Somewhere out there, Jack Thompson is like, God damn it.
Or he's like, yay, people are still talking about
it. That's probably his aim.
Yeah.
But, you know, he wanted something to get angry about.
Hey, Jack Thompson, if you're listening, fuck you.
Yeah, I like our first email.
Fuck you right in the nose.
Our first email will be a lawsuit. Oh, God.
That'd be so awesome.
I would take a picture of that inbox.
That would be a high point in my life if I got sued by Jack Thompson. Means I did something right.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. So, if you want to sue us, you can send us an email at atomicpoweredsupercast@gmail.com. There are other ways to get a hold of us, such as...
Twitter. at AP Supercast.
Cool. And if you forget both of those, they're both listed online on our website.
Which is www.atomicpoweredsupercast.com.
But if you don't give a shit about any of this, and you just want to listen in next week, and the week after that, and the week after that, you can always click on the little subscribe button in...
iTunes!
Yeah!
Can I just change your name on the website to iTunes,
yes.
Girl? Okay.
One week I'll just, like, do something really subversive there. I don't know what yet, but...
See, if you hadn't warned me, it would have been way more fun next week.
Winamp!
I was going to say Napster, but it's kind of like, eh.
Google Reader!
Kazaa!
LimeWire!
Oh, yay. So next week we're reading more webcomics. We're going to read a crap ton of webcomics because it really is just going to be the week-to-week funnies. There's a couple sort of notable things in next week, but we're just going to run down a list of stuff that we individually think are awesome and that we just want to take the time to talk about because if we're doing webcomics, there's stuff we have to talk about. And that said, when I tell you the list for next week, you're going to notice there's stuff that we didn't do, like... Axe Cop and Amazing Superpowers, and I'm sure there's a bunch that you guys have thought of that are listening that we haven't, but you know, there's only so much time in the day.
Plus, you already know about those, so.
Yeah, exactly.
Continue reading.
There you go. Yes, because nobody heard of Penny Arcade before this episode.
Well, we're just talking about awesome things.
Yeah. So next week we're going to do XKCD, which I'm super excited about. We're also going to do Dinosaur Comics, Cyanide and Happiness. Which you, Jeff.
I am very excited about.
And we're going to do Saturday morning breakfast cereal.
Yeah.
We're all very excited.
And I Hearth Darth.
Which I am very excited about.
Which I had never heard about before, Jeff, but when I saw it, I wanted to watch it. And the last one is Wonder Mark, which I still have no clue what the hell it is.
It's a dangerous sign that Jen might be a hipster.
Wait, what do those glasses look like again? Oh, they're full frame. Yeah.
I'm a girl. I can wear these.
Alright, fine.
Hey,
it's not ironic.
They're the same.
They're brand name. They're Vera Wang. That's hella brand name.
I have ones that look like that, but they're lucky. So.
Okay.
So I'm a complete hipster in glasses only.
Well, I didn't want to call you out, but
but to be fair, they got stepped on in a pool, and I don't wear them anymore.
Aww. That would just make them more ironic.
They're missing one of the arms.
More ironic. Make like an arm out of like a coat hanger.
I could.
There you go. I expect to see that on your face next week.
All right, I'll work on it.
All right. So until next week.
Goodbye.
Clear eyes, full hearts, can't lose.
Perry Bible Fellowship. Hark! Oh, God! God! Every goddamn
every time!
Oh.